This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this verse. Speak to our hearts for those who need to hear it. There may be somebody here this morning who needs to be made a new creation. All of us who know you need to know what it means to have all things new. I pray, Father, your Spirit would do what I cannot. In Jesus' name, all God's people sin. Amen. When I was younger, I would often, because of school trips or friends inviting me, go to different theme parks. And one of the theme parks we often went to out east was called Six Flags New England. And at Six Flags New England were all sorts of roller coasters. I'm very fond of roller coasters. There's one there called the Superman, which is the big one. They had different rides associated with different Marvel characters and whatnot, and they were just wonderful and thrilling. There was one ride called The Scream. And I will allow you to use your imagination to imagine what that sort of a ride is. There was one ride that I'll never forget, but I did forget, but I'll never forget, because it's called The Mind Eraser. And the reason why it's called The Mind Eraser is because it's a ride where you're in and you're strapped in, and your feet are dangling, so the track is above you. And on either side of your head are these pads to keep your head from bouncing, you know, to the point where you break your neck. And, of course, your head is bouncing against those pads. And the reason why they call it the mind eraser is because when you get off the ride, you have no idea what just happened. Your mind is erased. And of course, you know, they always have those pictures that you can see of when you're on the ride and you kind of get a reminder of what the ride was. When we become Christians, sometimes we don't realize what has happened. You know, we just, maybe you grew up in the church and you don't know exactly the day and the hour you became a Christian, but you just kind of knew that at some point you were following Jesus, or maybe you did have a very concise, knowable conversion time where you know you went from death to life. And even then, I don't think you could say you entirely know exactly what happened. And it's like a lot has happened when you become a Christian. A lot. But we don't realize it. We can't process it. It's sometimes beyond us. It's like that ride. When you come to the end of the ride, you don't know what happened, but you know you went on a ride and you've got feelings of joy and the adrenaline that ran through you. What this verse is doing, it is like that picture on the ride. It is giving us a glimpse, a section, a moment of what happened when you trusted in Jesus for salvation. A lot of things happen when you become born again, become a follower of Christ. This verse is just a snapshot of what you experienced. It's an opportunity for you to see what has happened in your life as you became a Christian. We're given a description in this verse. Before we unpack the description, we need to know why the description is there. The reason the description is there, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and they are questioning his authority because they think that his methods are not elite, are not the methods that they're used to among the Greeks. And so they think he's not really qualified to be an apostle. And he basically is telling them, listen, I don't really care what you think about me. I do what I do because Jesus saved me and gave me a mission. He says, he puts it this way in verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. What he means is that Jesus took over. So he doesn't really care what they think. The love of Christ in his heart compels him to do what he does, to go out and tell others about Christ. The second thing I want to mention here before we unpack this is that this promise, this description, is conditioned. What that means is that there is an if statement. If you've been in Sunday school, we've been wrestling through a lot of if statements in the Bible. Look, if you will, in verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That word, if, means that this promise and this description does not apply to someone who has not been placed in Christ. That is to say, if they have not entirely yielded their heart by faith to Jesus, given over their lives to Christ, receiving the Holy Spirit and being born again, trusting Him in Him and not in their works, turning from their sin, if that born again conversion experience has not happened, that they are not in Christ, nothing that follows matters for them. So that's very important, because I want this to be a description to every single individual that's in this room today. And the only way that could be possible is if everybody here at some point receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. So now let's unpack this description a little bit. What happened when you became a Christian? What happened when you trusted in Christ for salvation? The first thing that we see here is that you are a new creation. The word is right there. I just repeated what the Bible said. When you trusted in Christ, you became a new creation. That's what happened to you. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That word creation gives us the picture of way back in Genesis 1:1 when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was an act in which something was not there and now it is. There was a process in which something did not exist and now it does. If you remember in the account of Genesis, God created something from nothing. That he spoke, and out of the nothing that was there came everything that we experience in our day. And so what it's saying is that those who have put their faith in Christ for salvation are a new creation in the sense of God has created with the same power and the same word and the same wonder that happened when God created everything. Look, if you will, in Ezekiel chapter 36. This is in the Old Testament next to Isaiah, where we were just reading. Excuse me, not Isaiah. We have to go a couple of books. Ezekiel chapter 36. You see a little bit of a more description of what happened in this new creation. Something that happened inside of you. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. The Bible says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. There is a sense in which when you trusted in Christ for salvation, God created something new inside the deepest part of your soul that is your heart. And you had a heart of stone that was against God and anti-God, and God took that out of you and created out of nothing a brand new heart within you. That is just one aspect in which you have become a new creation. You see, when people trust in Jesus for salvation, it's not so much that God kind of remodels their life a little bit. Imagine a vehicle that it was kind of rusty and the paint was chipping off. And somebody took it to the shop and just repainted it. They stripped the old paint and they put the new paint on. And imagine that person goes around and they drive their new car and they say, "Look at me, I got a new car." Now, they did get a new paint job, right? But they didn't get a new car. It's the same car. It's the same vehicle. And in a miraculous way that I don't understand, the Bible says that when you trust in Christ, God doesn't just clean up the outward life a little bit, but He goes down to the deepest parts of who you are and creates something new. God doesn't just give you a tune-up. God causes you to be a trade-in. You're a new creation. You were born again. You were placed in Christ. Something happened new. Now, somebody might say, "But Pastor, I don't look different when I trusted in Christ. I maybe acted a little differently, but my salvation didn't bring some dazzling change in my life." Well, look, if you will, in verse 7 of the same chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you just want to go back there for a moment here. This is something that God is saying is true of you. And so look in chapter 5, verse 7. He says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." What that means is, if God has said something true of you, if God has declared something of your life, then you are to believe it by faith, even if you don't see it or even if you don't feel it. Now, there is a sense in which if you see in your life that there's not this presence of a new heart or this presence of God, it may be that you have not been born again. It may be that you are not a true believer. But we as Christians also go through struggles in which the feeling that we have inside of following Christ is not as strong, is not as present. We go through ups and downs. I know I do. And we must accept by faith what God says of us rather than how we feel in the moment. For example, I do construction on the side. Some days the manual labor is harder than others. There are some days when we go inside a lift and we go up in the lift and we're doing something in the air, standing in that lift, doing little things with our hands, little trim work and putting this on and putting that on. Then there are other days when we set trusses. And the days that we set trusses are days when we are climbing like monkeys all day long, contorting our bodies in ways I did not know were humanly possible. And for some reason, it has been seen that I am the one who should be chosen not to be on top of the trusses, putting on the purlins on top, but be in the trusses, putting the catwalk runs through the webbing of the trusses. So I'm not just climbing on top, up and down, putting boards on. I am weaving throughout the trusses inside, putting boards on to keep it steady. And I tell you what, days like that, the next day, I feel like I'm not 33. I feel like I'm 93. I am sore all over, top to bottom, inside and out. Now let me ask you a question. On those days when I feel like I'm 93, am I 93? No, I'm 33. But I just happen to feel like I'm 93. So it may be a Christian goes through a period of life where they don't feel the presence of God. They don't feel like they are a new creation. But God says it is true of them. And so therefore it is to be accepted as truth by faith. And you continue to walk with the Lord and trust Him and look to Him, and maybe the feelings come again. But we walk by faith and not by sight. John put it this way in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Albert Barnes says that this is a change which commences at the new birth, carried on by progressive sanctification, and which is consummated at death and in heaven. How do you see yourself? As a follower of Christ? Do you see yourself as God sees you? You are a new creation. Now, what exactly does that mean to be a new creation? Can you further describe that? Well, we can. Paul says it here in verse 17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." And here are the descriptions of what it means to be a new creation. First, old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The first thing we see is that old things have been passed away. So we could say for our second point here that your past life has passed away in Christ. Your past life has passed away in Christ. I love that phrase, passed away, because we know when we use that phrase, it describes somebody that we had known was on this earth, and they have passed away from this earth. They have gone on to be somewhere else. And the Bible says here that old things have passed away. So that there were things that were a part of your life. There were things that had defined you previously that no longer define you, that are no longer a part of your life. Is everybody listening? Is everybody up and awake here? Old things have passed away. That means that your past sins have passed away. That means that the sins that you have committed against God, the things which you did against God to anger Him, the things were against His will, they have passed away. The things that you had once been guilty of and under the wrath of God and condemnation of God have passed away. The things which once defined you, that made you a child of the devil, that made you certain of the wrath of God, those things have passed away. It was all dealt with on the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ dealt with everything that was against you. Look, if you will, in verse 14 and 15. "The love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." There was a death of your sins on Jesus on the cross. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, back one book here, and see how things which once defined you as a believer no longer do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Without Jesus, this is a description of you. But in Christ, verse 11, "such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." It is done, it is dead, it is gone, it has passed away. But then the question comes, well, if those past sins were done away with, then does continuing in those things, is that a valid way to respond? No, not just that. Your past desires have passed away. The desires that you had before you knew Jesus passed away. It may be at one point that you strongly desired the things that you once did and are now ashamed of, but now you do not desire them. Certainly we as Christians struggle with the flesh and struggle with the desires that tempt us, but ultimately at the end of the day, there is a new desire in our heart. You no longer want to do the things you once did. You no longer want to get drunk. You no longer want to get high. You no longer want to get wasted. You no longer want to get rich. You no longer want to get famous. You no longer want to get on top of everyone else. There's desires that have been changed. You no longer want to cheat on your taxes. You no longer want to be in that relationship that God has not endorsed. You no longer want to watch that which God sees as an offense. There's a story of St. Augustine of Hippo when he, before he came to Christ, he used to be very involved in promiscuity and would be with women and live this ungodly life. And he came to Christ and God changed the desires within him, radically transformed him. And one day he was walking down the road and there was this young lady who saw him and recognized him as someone that he had been with. And she looked at him and she said, "Augustine," she said, "it's me." And he looked at her and he said, "Ma'am, it is not me anymore." They were new desires. The old had passed away. I remember when I first came to Christ, there was a time when I was going through some of my stuff because I was getting ready to move, and I came across my old yearbook. My yearbook that I had from high school. And I remember opening up that yearbook and seeing all the signatures of people who were my friends and the things they wrote. And I remember looking at the pictures, and once in a while I would show up and remembering the kind of state I was in that moment. The kind of lost, rebellious, selfish state. You know, in a yearbook, everybody gets a quote. I don't know if they still do that, but in our day, when you're in a yearbook, you're given a quote. You get to pick a quote that you can choose. It can be any quote you want of anybody. And people would quote Henry David Thoreau or would quote this poet or that famous person. You know who I quoted? I quoted myself. Do you know what my quote was? Individualism. Learn it, live it, love it. It rewards you with your own self. I wanted people to remember me as the guy that thought that. I took that yearbook and I tossed it away. I threw it in the garbage. You want to know why? Tell me why. Because old things have what? Passed away. God has made me a new creature. It's not about myself, my individualism, what I need in life. It is about Jesus. Which brings us to the second half of this description of being a new creation. First thing, old things have passed away. But God doesn't want you to dwell on that. God wants you to move on. Because look at the verse. It says, old things have passed away. Behold. And then it says, all things have become new. The focus God wants you to have in this verse is not on the old things. He doesn't say, behold, old things have passed away, all things have become new. He says, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. That word behold means pay attention to, see, look at, take careful attention. Behold, all things have become new. We should be careful as Christians not to dwell on the past. We can look and see what God has saved us from and thank Him for it, but there should be a sense and we should leave it in the hands of Jesus. As the quote said by Oswald Chambers, even as Christians, we can leave the past in His hands and look to Him for our future to follow Him more closely. So not only are old things passed away, but here, all things are made new. So we could say for our third point, all things that relate to you are made new. All things that relate to you are made new. When you become a Christian, yes, the old things come away, but God creates something new inside of you to replace it. You don't become a void. You don't become a vacuum. It's not just God removing things and there you are. It is that He takes what is old out and He puts in something radically different, something unbelievably wonderful, indescribably true. All things are made new. He puts His Holy Spirit inside of you so that your relationship to yourself and your relationship to everything around is completely, radically, and eternally changed forever. The first thing that we can think of that is made new is your inner desires, like we talked about. There is this newness inside so that the things you didn't care to do before when it relates to following Christ, now you do. All of a sudden you do want to read your Bible to understand what God has revealed to you. You do want to pray to Him in order to nurture your relationship with Him. You do want to come to church to worship Him and get your eyes recalibrated among believers on Jesus. You do want to obey Him in your daily life. You do want to tell others about Jesus. There's a newness of the desire inside of you. But there's also a newness in how you view God and how you view Jesus. Maybe at some point you used to think of Jesus as some noble, moral person who is important that people really cared about. But now Jesus is everything to you. Now Jesus is Lord over your life. Now Jesus is who you live for. You might at one point thought God was just this higher power that everybody believed in a different way. But now you believe that God is the only God revealed in the Bible, explained in Jesus Christ and seen in Jesus Christ, and He is all for your life. Maybe at one point you saw this book as something that's really interesting, but maybe you should put it on the bookshelf and maybe it should have an important place in your home, but you don't actually care to read it or learn about it or study it and see what God has revealed to you. But now all things are made new. Now the Bible is your guide for life, your direction for the decisions you make. It is everything. You just want to feast on it. I remember hearing somebody who told me when they first got saved, it was like they could eat their Bible. They loved it so much. Because what God was doing through it in them was so new and fresh. Not just the Bible, not just coming to church, not just praying, but everything becomes new. In fact, the way you view the world becomes new. You see this world not just as an accident that happened in an explosion and it just happened to be this way, but you see this world as the handiwork of Almighty God to create beauty and wonder for you to glorify Him about. Oh, when you first become a Christian and you see the sunset for the first time, and we as believers can have that wonder every time we see a beautiful sunset. Did you see last night's? The beauty of it. The wonder of creation. When you hear a bird sing, it's not just an animal producing noises, but it is the very glory of God singing from this little creature. There's a newness in all creation. How many of you wear glasses or contacts? I have contacts in right now. Do you remember the time? I don't know if it was when you were a kid. But do you remember the time you put glasses on for the very first time? Do you remember how the world looked so different? What amazed me when I stood outside, I put those glasses on and I looked at a tree. And I just stared at a tree. Because I realized the tree has leaves. It's not just a green blob. It has leaves that I can individually point out from a distance. And it was like the whole world was new. All things have become new. Your view of everything. You are a new creation. Have you been wearing your glasses? Or are you still looking at the world according to the old way? The way the world views this creation around you. Brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you know Jesus, this is a reminder for the year ahead. Because you can come to Christ and say, Lord, I hear this about me. I didn't realize how deep and profound it was. I pray, Father, that 2025 will be a year which I live that out as a new creation. I want to look back at the mistakes that I may have made or the strengths of what happened last year. I'll take that and learn from it. But I'll lay it in your hands. It'll pass away. Today, I ask you to help me for the new of what is ahead. Let this year be a year in which this promise is refreshed and renewed for you. But maybe somebody here today has heard this message and realized, you know what? I'm not a new creation. I'm still in the old. I want to give you a truth today. I want to give you a word from God. That word for God says that you are a sinner, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that all who are not forgiven, all who are not cleansed will have their place in the lake of fire. But then there's this promise from God that says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, that if anyone puts their faith in Jesus, turns away from that old life and just receives the Lord Jesus' forgiveness for their sins by faith, the Bible says that they will become a new creation. We are about to celebrate the lives of those who have made the announcement that this has occurred in their lives. For upon believing, Jesus says, if you believe, be baptized as a testimony and a witness of this new creation. They will be lowered into the water to signify their death of the old. They will be raised out of the water to signify the new creation. I'm going to close in prayer. If anyone wants to be a new creation, take this moment to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Heavenly Father, thank You for this promise that is true for everyone who is in Christ. I pray that today would be the day of new creation in someone's life. They needed to hear this message. They needed to hear of the promise of a new now and a new future. One that is with You. One that is close to You. One that is united to You. One that is promised eternal life, a home in heaven, a future of peace and joy and love. I pray that they would call upon You. They would say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Forgive me for sinning against You. I receive Jesus' forgiveness, His shed blood for my sins. I receive Him as Lord and Savior in my life. Make me a new creation. I pray as everyone here witnesses this baptism, we would glorify God for all that You have done for us. Thank You for everything You have done and everything You will do. We praise You. We thank You. We worship You, Father God, for who You are. Sanctify this time in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.